It was an angel who declared that Jesus would save his people from their sins. Now that's really good news. We can't save ourselves. If God did not reach out to us, we'd never find him on our own. In Zechariah chapter 3, the angel of the Lord spoke of clean garments for the high priest, foreshadowing the robe of Christ's righteousness that admits us to heaven. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a series on the invisible world, where battles are lost and won. Now, stay tuned as we conclude a message from Zechariah chapter 3 on Jesus, the devil, and you.
And so Jesus has a new robe for us. And it is given to those who believe. And that's why there is no other way to heaven. There's no other guru or teacher that can possibly do that. You need God to do the saving. It is God who takes away the sin and gives you a new robe, a robe of righteousness and truthfulness and acceptance. And then there's a third fact. By the way, remember, years ago I mentioned to you, I was to speak somewhere and just overcome with a sense of frustration and anger. I was parking the car, and I thought to myself, you know, I have to preach in a half an hour. How do I preach when all this is going on in my soul with all of this stirring, all this guilt? And I was reminded of Romans chapter 8, and I said it out loud in the car. Now, normally, don't say this unless you are alone, or else someone might think that you should just keep on driving to the local hospital. But in the car by myself, I shouted, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, and is even now at the right hand of the throne of God, who also maketh intercession for us." Calmness came to my soul. And I remember preaching on the great doctrine of the faith of justification, even as I preach it now. But there's a third fact, and that is that we're caught in the middle in all this. You'll notice that the title of this series is The Invisible World, Where Battles Are Lost or Won. We're the big object of attention. And we're the object of attention because there you have God saying, "I've received them on the basis of Christ." And there you have Satan say, "They're unworthy. They shouldn't be able to enter into the courts of heaven. They are sinners just like I am." And he's heaping guilt on us. And he is also accusing God of injustice. And he's angry. Thank God he was thrown out of heaven. And in the midst of this, we struggle with our past. Because he's there to remind us of our past, and God is there to remind us of our future and how different the two really are. I'd like to read a story that occurs in Joshua Harris's book, one of the books by Joshua Harris. Listen carefully. "In that place between wakefulness and dreams, I found myself in the room. There were no distinguishing features except for one wall covered with small index card files. They were like the ones in libraries that list titles by author or subject in alphabetical order. But these files, which stretched from floor to ceiling and seemingly endlessly in either direction, had very different headings. I knew exactly where I was. This lifeless room with its small files was a crude catalog system for my life. Here were written the actions of my every moment, big and small, in a detail my memory couldn't match. A sense of wonder and curiosity coupled with horror stirred within me as I began randomly opening the files and exploring their contents. Some brought joy and sweet memories, others a sense of shame and regret so intense that I would look over my shoulder to see if anyone was watching. The titles ranged from the mundane to the outright weird. Books I've read, lies I've told, comfort I have given, jokes I've laughed at. Some were almost hilarious in their exactness, things I'd yelled at my brothers. Others I couldn't laugh at, things I have done in anger, things I have muttered under my breath at my parents. Each was written in my own handwriting, each signed with my signature. When I pulled out the file marked songs I've listened to, I shut it, slammed, not so much by the quality of the music, but much more by the vast amount of time I knew that file represented. When I came to a file marked Lustful Thoughts, I felt a chill run through my body. I pulled the file out only an inch, not willing to test its size, and drew out a card. I felt sick to think that such a moment had been recorded. Suddenly, I felt almost an animal rage. One thought dominated my mind. No one must ever see these cards. I have to destroy them. In an insane frenzy, I yanked the file out. I had to empty it and burn the cards. But as I took the file at one end and began pounding it on the floor, I couldn't dislodge a single card. I became desperate and pulled out a card, only to find it strong as steel, when I tried to tear it. Defeated and utterly helpless, I let out a long, self-pitying sigh. And then I saw it. The title bore, "People I Have Shared the Gospel With." The handle was brighter than those around it, newer, almost unused. I pulled on its handle, and a small box, not more than 3 inches long, fell into my hands. I could count the cards it contained on one hand. I began to weep, sobs so deep that the hurt started in my stomach and shook through me. I fell on my knees and cried. I cried out of shame, from the overwhelming shame of it all. The rows of file shelves swirled in my tear-filled eyes. No one must ever, ever, ever know of this room. I must lock it up and hide the key. But then, as I pushed away the tears, I saw him. No. Please, not him, not here, anyone but Jesus. I watched helplessly as he began to open the files and read the cards. I couldn't bear to watch his response, and in the moments I could bring myself to look at his face, I saw a sorrow deeper than my own. Finally, he turned and looked at me from across the room. He looked at me with a pity in his eyes. I dropped my head, covered my face with my hands, and I began to cry again. He walked over and put his arm around me. He could have said many things, but he didn't say a word. He just cried with me. Then he got up and walked back to the wall of files. Starting at one end of the room, he took out a file one by one, began to sign his name over mine on each card. "No," I shouted. I rushed to him. All I could say is, "No, no." I pulled the card from him. His name shouldn't be on these cards. But there it was, written in red, so rich, so dark, so alive. The name of Jesus covered mine. It was written with his blood. He gently took the card back. He smiled a sad smile and continued to sign the cards. I don't think I'll ever understand how he did it so quickly, but the next instant it seemed that I heard him close the last file and he walked back to my side. He placed his hand on his shoulder and said, "It is finished." I stood up and he led me out of the room. There was no lock on the door. There were still cards to be written. The Bible says in the 12th chapter of Revelation regarding Satan the accuser, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, because Jesus paid it all, and only his blood can cleanse us in the presence of God and an accusing devil. Can we pray together? There are some of you here who have never trusted Jesus as your Savior. You must do that. I urge you to. Even as we pray, you pray and say, Jesus, today I receive you as mine. Take all my cards signed with your blood that you became guilty of when you became sin for me. Some of you are here and your past continues to haunt you. Jesus is the one who says to you and to me today, as he puts his arms around us, it is finished. The past is gone. The new has come. Father, we thank you today for this marvelous account of Joshua. We thank you so much that in your grace, you took away the filthy garments and gave him rich garments of grace and power. We ask today, Lord, that we will depend upon the righteousness of Jesus, and may we depend upon him with confidence that he paid it all and that his blood washes from every sin. We pray for all those today, Father, bound by their past, bound by guilt and shame. Liberate them today, we ask, in the presence of the devil and in the presence of Jesus, the righteous judge, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and you've just heard the last of a message that I preached entitled Jesus, the Devil, and You. It's an incredibly important message. It's the one message that I've said before that I wish I could preach to the entire nation, because I think of even believers who struggle with guilt, perhaps because of an abortion, perhaps because of some great crime that has been committed. Oftentimes it is because of immorality. You need to hear this message. You need to hear it again, and so do your friends. That's why at the end of this broadcast, you'll be given information as to how these messages can be yours. They're actually part of a larger series entitled The Invisible World. But this message on guilt, I hope that you've been blessed. I hope that you've been freed. And if we are a blessing to you, would you let us know? We're always greatly encouraged when we hear that people have come to trust Christ as Savior as a result of Running to Win, or as believers, they've been encouraged. God bless you. See you right here next time on Running to Win.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. You've heard Erwin Lutzer wrapping up Jesus, the Devil, and You, the seventh message in an eight-part series on the invisible world. Tomorrow, perhaps the ultimate part of the invisible world, don't miss A Glimpse into Heaven. These messages will make the invisible world very real to each of us. The entire series will be sent on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about the invisible world. Online, go to offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.